We got a late ass reunion. Oh, it's hardly new. You gonna hate us, but who made us share with you this late ass review?
Late ass, late ass, late ass, late ass review.
That was the chair.
Oh, fiddledy biddledy fiddledy fuck. What's up, everybody? Take it in the butt. Wow.
That was fresh.
No, it was not. I'm sorry. I don't know what the fuck that was about. That was inappropriate. Hey, guys, what's going on? Mike Zimmer here, joined with Armando Aranda, speaking inappropriately, talking inappropriately, as per usual. We're at the Awesome Pad yet again in Astoria, Queens. Mike Zimmer joined with Armando Aranda. Team Awesome Inc. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Like that Facebook page. And, of course, download and subscribe for free on iTunes as well as Podomatic. That website, yotina.podomatic.com. Again, yotina.podomatic.com. Go to it. Like, download, subscribe for free. Do it. We have a live show that we do once a week at soundcast.fm for all your soundcasting needs, you guys. Also, we've been working out of Soundworks in Astoria, Queens, which is fantastic. We'll probably be recording there again very soon. Really loved it there. Yes. Shout out to them as well as Soundcast. And, you know, just hit us up on our YouTube channel. Watch all of our reaction videos. We do a lot of trailer reactions. We do a lot of movie reviews. We've got other late-ass reviews for other films. So go check that out on Simmer Mike. Again, that's Simmer Mike on YouTube. And it's also on iTunes as well. Check out iTunes, Team Awesome Inc., all that stuff. Armando doesn't have any social media, so don't worry. I'm not going to go on and on and promote his social media bullshit.
Yep.
Armando, what do you got?
I got...
That's right. See? Yeah. Fucking nothing. So here fucking we go. Nothing. Let's get into this late-ass review. The movie that is up for question is a 2014 film directed by Christopher Nolan, starring Matthew McConaughey driving a Lincoln Town car. driving the best vehicle in the universe. Seriously, I want that ship. The one that bends space and time. Fuck it. Fuck humanity. Fuck all the people I know. Everyone can die. I want to go to other planets.
Well, the ship doesn't actually bend space and time.
I don't care. I just want to go to other planets. Fuck it. Like, that would be cool. So, yeah, we got...
I'm not even sure it can go to other planets by itself.
What?
Interstellar? Well, maybe in our solar system, yes.
In Interstellar, it goes through a black hole, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Or I thought it transcended space and time.
No.
I thought the ship itself transcended space and time.
No.
It went through a black hole?
No, they went through a wormhole.
Oh, okay, hold on. We're getting a little bit ahead of the plot.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
Sorry, guys. But yeah, we'll get a correction soon on that.
Okay.
But yeah, this is a film that came out in 2014. It is a sci-fi film. A lot of heart. It's more of a... It's not a big action set piece. It's not a big sci-fi like, whoa, we're going to blow your minds, man. It does blow your mind. It doesn't blow your mind like with spectacle. It blows your mind with... ideas.
Yeah.
It blows your mind with the impossible being real and how people would be affected by it in the real world, especially Interstellar. Chris Nolan taking sort of like Albert Einstein like theories and applying them to films, consulting astrophysicists like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right.
On what the fuck it would be like if someone went through a black hole, if they did survive, if it was a wormhole.
Right, and if we had like technology available today.
It's one of the nerdiest fucking movies ever, but it's a very subtle film. It's done very subtly.
Well, they have some mechanisms in the plot or like in the dialogue to help, you know, non-sciencey viewers.
Oh, easily.
Grasp it.
Yeah, easily. If you don't know science stuff, Interstellar will educate you on science stuff. Who else do we got in this movie? We got Mackenzie Foy, who plays Murph when she's 10. We've got Ellen Ellen Burstyn. She plays Murph when she's older. Murph. There's a contest between Matthew McConaughey saying Murph in Interstellar and what's his name from The Walking Dead, Rick, saying Carl. Carl, Murph, Carl. I just want to see a montage of that on YouTube. If anyone's out on YouTube and you can make that montage happen, comments below. Send us the link. Or hit us up, teamawesomeshows@gmail.com. Again, teamawesomeshows@gmail.com. I want a montage of Matthew McConaughey saying Murph and whoever plays Rick Grimes saying Carl. I need it in my life. I'm too I'm too busy to do it for myself. Thank you. Now, who else we got in this? We got John Lithgow in this movie. Out of nowhere, John Lithgow's in Interstellar.
Yeah, he shows up in...
It's like, you're just like, fucking John Lithgow's here? No problem with that.
Always,
I love the guy, but what's he doing?
I always welcome him.
I'm always welcoming of John Lithgow, but
I
was surprised.
I would welcome him in Jackass.
Yeah. of course, we've got Michael Caine, which is the UK's John Lithgow. Our Michael Caine is John Lithgow. The UK's John Lithgow is Michael Caine. Even though John Lithgow never played a badass in his younger years, he always played the weird guy. Except in Harry and the Hendersons, he was a true hero then. Did you ever see that movie? It was Bigfoot living with the family. Anyway, back to Interstellar. who else do we got? Who's that guy? Anne Hathaway. Of course Anne Hathaway. Yeah, she's in this as well. Bill Irwin plays Tars. He's actually the voice of the robo assistant in this film, and there is a robo assistant. Yes, it's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
Michael Caine plays Professor Brand, and Hathaway is his daughter. There's a lot of stuff going on, and Topher Grace is there as well, ladies and gentlemen. Just for good measure, just for the fuck of it, Christopher Nolan threw Topher Grace in the movie.
And he special was, guest Topher
yep,
Grace.
He was feeling charitable that day. And the sun shined upon Topher Grace yet again. And then a cloud slowly came over and covered it up yet again.
But it was nice while it lasted.
Oh, yes. Like Camelot. For a brief shining moment, Topher Grace was in a Christopher Nolan film. And he was great. He barely had any lines, but he was great. And he wasn't that tough. He was supposed to, I don't know. Anyway, there's a whole scene. We're getting way off subject. Interstellar is about love. Mm-hmm. Triumphing over space and time.
Yeah, you know. Kind of. Yeah, and just...
I'm not too far off on that, but it's also space and time and science.
No, it is a lot about love.
And it raises a lot of questions about humanity. Basically, Interstellar is saying that it's predicting a future where, in essence, we fucked over our planet to the point that it can no longer sustain us. And so now we got to go and find other planets that can sustain
us. Oh, wait, I wasn't clear on that. I'm not
sure. We're a parasite race species. Species and race. We're just parasites, all humans. We're just fucking...
I'm not sure if it was our fault in that movie.
Yeah, it was.
It was?
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
The whole Christopher Nolan was very much making a social commentary on the human race and how we fucked
I guess maybe I wasn't paying that much attention in
the beginning. No, it happened very quickly, like in the montage at the beginning where they're talking about, like, they show people, like, in line and they show the dust.
I gotta watch it again. I wouldn't mind watching this again.
There was a drought because of the fucking polar ice caps and blah, 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 and there's all the... Everything was fucked, basically, and so they couldn't grow anything.
And, like, the dust
and everything was
fucking up all the crops.
Like, they couldn't grow anything. They couldn't fix the atmosphere. And so Michael Caine and company with Anne Hathaway, his daughter, they were like, all right, we got to go off planet, find another planet for the human race because we are fucked. And Matthew McConaughey's like, no, we're not. We're not fucked. We could totally, like, save. No, man, no, we could. If we just get a Lincoln Town car and drive it around the block, you'll feel better. No, he's not hawking Lincoln Town cars all the time. I can't do a McConaughey impression. I can do very few impressions. I definitely cannot do Matthew McConaughey. What I can tell you is that he is very charming in this film, Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
As he is in every fucking movie he's ever in, he's like the most charming guy ever. Like, you're with him the whole time. You're like... You know, like, the moments where he has a breakdown, you fucking feel it. You're like, this, like, because you identify with him as a character. He's such a likable guy. You're like, fuck, I just hate seeing him so miserable. Like, and you put yourself in that scenario as well. But we'll get to that in a minute. So he's there. So Matthew McConaughey used to be an astronaut and a pilot. He was, decided to be a farmer. Because there was a drought and he wanted to apply his NASA farming skills to the farming. It didn't work out so well, but he tried. And then the movie starts off with the drone crashing. And that's what sets off a whole chain of events that leads to Matthew McConaughey and his daughter Murph discovering NASA, what's left of NASA.
Yep.
But before they discover NASA and what's left of NASA, there are a bunch of clues that Christopher Nolan lays in the film that are so obviously clues that... You can't help but be like, okay, I need to remember this shit later on in the movie.
Right.
Like, you know, the stuff in Murph's bedroom when the fucking bookcase and the books are falling off.
It was like video game.
It was like there's a ghost in her fucking room. I'm like, Jesus. And she would tell her dad, I think there's a ghost in my room. And he's like, whatever, Murph. I'm going to take a drive in my Lincoln Town car. Just imagine if he did. It'd be great. They'd sell a lot of Lincoln Town cars. regardless of McConaughey's sales pitching, he plays like the dad who just wants to do the right thing. And, you know, he's trying to do the right thing.
And but, he's trying to get his son into the space program.
Yeah, he wants to get his son in the space program, and he wants to get his daughter into, I don't know, she wants to be a botanist or something. Yeah, she wants to work with plants.
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that, because, like, she ends up in the future. Time travel. Movie about space and time. Things get confusing and a bit wobbly. Okay,
but
so
it's wrapped up neatly.
So
at the
it's
end.
It's basically telling you, it's setting you up, right? It's setting you up for who Matthew McConaughey is, his relationship to his daughter, to his family, to Casey Affleck in the future. I forgot Casey Affleck is his son in the future, by the way. But we'll get to that in a minute. So you know, it's like, okay, so he has a life, he has a family. John Lithgow is his dad. Got it. We're there. Boom. He's a well-rounded character. Now let's take him out of his family life that he's happy in. Let's put him in a miserable situation where he could die, or his family will die and he'll survive. Let's make a movie.
Everyone can die.
Well, yeah, everyone will die. Who knows? Maybe. Keep listening. Where do we leave off? Okay, so yeah, the drone crashed. They're having weird ghosty things happen in Murph's bedroom. Then what?
They find NASA.
What triggers them finding NASA? Because they get in the car and they find, like, the dust that falls and settles in Murph's bedroom, there's clearly what's written are the directions to where NASA is.
Like coordinates.
The coordinates, yeah, the coordinates. They're in precise. Dust. They're like, whoa, weird. It's like the ghost is telling us to go to NASA, man. It's almost as if this ghost is saying, find NASA. And because Matthew McConaughey is such a likable, lovable dad, he's like, sure, let's go and fucking use our GPS and try and find this weird thing that some ghost is telling us to find. And I'll take my daughter with me. And possibly, and my son. I'll take my kids with me. I'm a great dad. So he gets in his truck with his two kids. And he decides to find what the ghost told him to go find, and they end up finding NASA. And Michael Caine and Anne Hathaway, Michael Caine and Anne Hathaway are there, and they're like, "Hey, sup? We're NASA.
Well, you guys can't leave after a robot tries to interrogate."
Oh yeah, TARS, the robot. Let's talk about TARS. Cool ass robot, right? TARS
oh
is so
God.
Fucking cool.
That, it's like
one of the coolest cinematic robots ever. Honestly,
yeah, I know.
Like practical, makes sense. You can see it in the physical world.
It's like. It's practical.
It's got a personality, but not just enough. It was a soldier. This is a robot that has history. It has character development. TARS was a soldier in a war. Because, wars were fought with robots, apparently, at one point, which sounds badass. And Chris Nolan needs to make that movie where wars are being fought with robots. I want to see Chris Nolan make that movie. And TARS could be in it. It could be a whole interstellar universe and Batman's connected somehow. But he was a war veteran. And so, you know, it's like he had PTSD or some shit. So he was a bit tough, and he was supposed to be like a guard, yeah, but like he could lose his edge, you know? It's almost like he had a human quality where like, almost like a howl, but not an evil howl. Like I'm just like, God damn it, I'm so stressed, you know? Like I got a lot of shit I got to do. They all have personalities, the robots, because then they run into another robot later on, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So yeah, and so like Michael Caine's there and he's like, look, right, world's going to fall apart. We need to send you off planet with my daughter and Hathaway. I mean, Professor Brand. And you need to save the world. I'm Michael Caine. And he's like, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. And Hathaway goes, yeah, I'm here too. So then they go in the ship. Sorry, that was really mean to Anne Hathaway. I'm also here. I'm Anne Hathaway. Yeah, we know. My hair's shorter. Yeah, we see it. Thanks, Anne Hathaway. No, I'm not a Hathaway hater at all. I just think it's funny that this is the second time I've talked about something involving Anne Hathaway on the show. And I've met her in real life. We had a bar I used to work at. And she was a nice lady and she was a good tipper. But, you know, it's weird because like she was like, she's like this. She's tiny, man. She's like Thumbelina. Like she's little.
Yeah.
She's like, you put her in your pocket. Well, go on adventures.
It's like 5'3" or something.
Probably smaller. Like legit. Like
really?
I was looking
like
down
4'10"?
At her. Standing right there. Like where are you? You know. Like she's like, I'm down here. I'm like, oh, there's Anne Hathaway. Hey, Anne Hathaway. Like, what do you want? She's like, I'm a Great Goose and tonic, please. And I'm like, okay. She's like, actually, make it two. And I'm like, whoa, take it easy, Anne Hathaway. And she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's for another person. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. It's for another person. She's not going to, like, double fist it. It would have been funny if Anne Hathaway was double fisting Grey Goose and tonics. Or sodas. I can't remember if it was tonic or soda. It was years ago, but I remember it was Anne Hathaway, and she was great. It was during the time they were filming Dark Knight Rises. But she's in this movie, and she's just kind of there. I hate saying that, but as far as the character goes, like, you know.
Well, I mean.
She's not much of a. I mean, like, she has her subplot, which is the backup plan.
She's the backup plan.
Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. She's the backup plan. In case they can't find a habitable planet, or if they do find a habitable planet, she's there to take all the sperm that's been, like, she has cans of sperm that she's
jizz
taking
cans.
With her. She's got cans of jizz. So, Anne Hathaway. Yeah. Oh, my God,
so
I'm sorry.
So it's like
sorry, Miss Hathaway. But
it's like that spray confetti thing, right?
Anne Hathaway's like carrying up spray confetti jizz in, like, almost like those things from Jurassic Park that what's his name from Seinfeld? Newman.
Newman
from Seinfeld. When he was in Jurassic Park and he had that shaving cream can and he put the embryos of the dinosaurs in it. It's like she has, like, a fucking case of those, but it's all semen.
Right.
So Anne Hathaway's got a case of vials of semen that she's just going to impregnate herself with, I guess, if she ends up finding a habitable planet. That's the plan. That's the goal, to save the human race. That's our backup plan.
Our backup plan is a turkey baster.
Anne Hathaway with a turkey baster on another planet. That's our backup plan. Thanks, yes. Michael Caine. Jesus Christ. Well, that's the best I could come up with at last minute. You expect too much of me. I'm Michael Caine. Sorry, Michael Caine. I don't mean to yell at you. It's just goddamn. So anyway, we got McConaughey and crew, which includes Anne Hathaway, McConaughey, and a bunch of other people too. How many other people? It was a crew of five. One of them died right away.
Yeah.
Remember that one dude who just, or was it a lady? Did they have two ladies initially? I can't remember because, like, a lot of them died, like, quickly. All right, so the plan is, okay, we already know what the backup plan is. We know Anne Hathaway's, like, you know, like, subplot, like, you know, this is what she's going to get up to. But, you know, like, we don't know if they're going to find a habitable planet or not. So they go out to where apparently they sent a mission prior.
Yes, previous mission.
Well,
to several different planets.
Right? Yeah, several different planets.
Some of them didn't come back.
No, but they got a distress beacon from one of them.
Sorry.
Right? Like, didn't they get a distress beacon from one of them?
Yeah, or some kind of beacon. They said
something went off.
It was like, yeah, come here. Yeah.
It was it was like, yeah, this planet is okay or something like that. Yeah. And so they're like, okay, like at least one of them went off and it might be habitable. So we'll check that out. But first we're going to go to the one that we think is most likely habitable or whatever, or where we thought someone would be alive on.
Yeah, that was nuts.
And they go land on this planet. But first they got to go through a black hole. Now, at first I thought that...
Wormhole.
Wormhole, black holes. A wormhole is two black holes, right?
A wormhole is...
It's like literally, it's like what you go in through the black hole and you go out at the other end of the wormhole, which is another black hole because it sucks in all space and time, right?
I'm not sure. I don't think wormholes have gravity.
Wormholes don't have gravity? Gravity sucking them into the thing that pulled them down into the... What was like I call the library matrix, but we'll get back to the library matrix in a second, which I'm excited
about.
Well,
it might be there was a black hole in the movie.
But I thought that was how they got around town.
They spotted a wormhole by Saturn.
Which was also another convenient thing, remember? Because they got coordinates from the ghost from Murph's bedroom, I think.
Right.
But it was like Murph's bedroom's ghost decided to go to NASA for a little bit.
Yeah. It
took a detour.
They put a wormhole here.
Yeah, and we're like, who the fuck is this ghost, man? It's fucking annoying. It's really fucking up this whole movie. Like, it's almost like it's making the plot happen in a weird way. Oh, that's right. It was a wormhole next to a black hole.
Right.
When they exited the wormhole, then there was a black hole.
Yeah, the black hole has gravity, yes.
And they're like, oh, shit, we're right by a fucking black hole. And they're like, yeah, I know, let's stay away from it. And they're like, what do you mean just stay away from it? Just shut up, it's fine, it's a movie. So they stay away from the black hole, knowing that it's there and it could suck in all the planets around it. And they're like, well, maybe there's a habitable planet around here. So then they go down to the water planet. And they're on the water planet. They're like,
there's also a time dilation.
So. Oh, so there's a huge time dilation. So anytime they do anything... There's like 10 years, 20 years, 50 years go by.
Something inside. Yeah, like an hour is like something like 8 years or
something
like
that. Yeah, so they're like fucked. This whole mission, they're fucked. Like when they come back, their kids might be like as old as them or older.
Yeah.
And they know that, But
yeah, they knew that.
McConaughey had kids, and he knew that going in. And there was that emotional scene before he left where he's like, "I'll come back for you, Murph. I'll come back for you." He's like, promise me, you'll come back for me, Papa, Papa, Papa. And she hasn't ever called him Papa, but I wanted her to.
Well, no, he can't. Well, he wasn't going to make any assurances that he was.
No, he said, "I'll come back. I promise you, I'll come back."
Yeah.
But he did.
He did? He said,
promise. Sorry. Spoilers.
Wait.
We should have said that at the beginning. Oh, well, too late. Spoilers. Oh, sorry, guys. Well, I'll let you know at the beginning. Don't worry. I'll put a little annotation. Spoilers.
Warning.
For a movie
spoilers.
That came out in 2014. And it was a very popular film when it came out. It was a top grossing box office at the time when it came out. But it was considered one of Nolan's least successful films, even though it was still ranked high in the box office.
That's financially?
Financially. Not critically. Critically, it was acclaimed. Like, people loved it critically, but financially, it didn't rake in as much as,
so
like...
people just didn't go out to see it.
They saw it. They rented it. People rented Interstellar. Some of them actually went to the theaters to go see it. Yeah. A lot of them just rented it. Kind of the same thing happened with... what was the one? Inception? Mm. Yeah, same thing kind of happened with Inception.
Oh, really?
Like, people were like, oh, yeah, that looks really cool. I want to see that, but I'll rent it.
People went out to see it.
They did. A lot of people did, but not a lot of people. Not enough, you know? Nolan is able to bring people into the theaters with his movies, and he's able to tell really great stories. It's just, if he's not doing Batman or something really like sci-fi nerd-related, it's kind of... it's hard for him to sell the audience on it.
Yeah.
But what he loves to do, and he said this in multiple interviews, is that he loves to bring the fantastic to reality. He likes to bring magic to the real world. And he wants to see what that would be like. Like, what if something magical, like what would be magical
like
to us?
How the fuck would people react? Yeah.
Yeah. Like if we could go and through a wormhole and experience what it's like to be by a black hole and to try and find habitable planets.
Right.
Like, what would that be like?
Right.
And it's like, holy shit, this is what it would really be like.
How it would be like for humans to face extinction.
Yeah, so here we go. They land on the water planet, and they're on Waterworld. I'm calling it Waterworld. I assume this is where Kevin Costner and that movie takes place, is on that planet.
It's the same universe.
It's the same. That's the same. That's the planet that they're on.
Yes.
That's Waterworld. It's not Earth. It's that planet they land on in Interstellar. But anyway, we'll get to that later. And they're walking around. They're like slushing around. Like, oh, shit, what's going on? Oh, here's the fucking thing. Oh, it looks like whoever was here died. Great.
Yeah.
What happened?
And they're like, where the hell are the mountains that we saw?
Yeah, those mountains seem to be getting closer. Like, no, those aren't mountains. Those are waves. And it turns out it's like a tsunami the size of...
it's bigger than any fucking...
the size of like a mountain, like, would you say?
Basically, yeah.
Everest?
Yeah.
Literally a tsunami the size of Everest, which goes around this planet continuously forever and ever and ever and always. This planet would be habitable if it wasn't for the
giant
Mount Everest-sized tsunami.
Tidal wave, right?
Tidal waves, I don't know what you call it at that point, that just constantly is just going around. And
some mountain of water.
Just, oh my God. And it's very intense and frightening. And you know it's very foreboding because it's coming and they're trying to like grab the equipment they need. And Anne Hathaway's trying to get the info she needs. And they're like, leave it. And then a dude dies. I don't know. One of the dudes dies.
Yeah.
No one cares. I mean, we care. We're like, oh, it's sad. He's dead. But.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. They moved on very quickly. They had to because.
Well, they had to
because they realized, we were down there for how long?
Yeah, we were down there for 3 minutes. That's like 10 years.
They were like, oh, shit, we are fucked. So that happens a lot in this movie where like Michael Caine earlier was like, we are fucked.
Oh, there are a lot of...
these guys were fucked on that planet.
So many times.
So many times in this entire mission and on that planet. So they get off the planet. They're like, okay, this is clearly not a good idea. What are we doing? Why are we out here doing this? What's going on? And they're like, well... Anne Hathaway's like, well, the idea was that... this was a one-way trip. And Matthew McConaughey is like, no, this isn't a one-way trip.
Oh,
we're going back.
Yeah.
We're going back. Well, I got to get back to Murph.
He finds out through Murph, actually. Michael Caine.
Right. So, okay, we get to the big emotional moment in the movie.
Right.
Where after McConaughey and crew get back and one of them dies on an alien planet, it's just some fucking astronaut fucking floating around.
Yep.
Some corpse forever floating on this alien planet.
We will
if
never
any other
to be
aliens
seen
land
again.
There and see that, they're like, what the fuck? is this shit?
What is this? There's four things sticking out of it.
There's like four things here and not from here.
And a round thing is attached to this thing.
I don't know. We got to blow this planet up. We have to blow it up. It's evil. Yes. Anyway, that would just be bizarre if that ever happened.
It's the space devil.
Yeah, space devil did it. There's a space Christ and a space church. That's how it works in the future, you guys. Anyway, back to Interstellar and their space church, which is love. Aw, bringing it back to the main theme of the movie. So, like, you know, and he Matthew McConaughey sits down. He's like, all right, well, we just had this crazy ass mission. I'm going to go sit down and watch these messages from my daughter. He's like, let's do the math. How many years has gone by? He's like, holy shit, 20 years? He's like, 20 years have gone by? She, or was it 25 years or something? Like,
yeah, something like that.
And she, like, Murph was like 11 or 12. So I think it was 20 years. Yeah, 20 years went by and she was like 11 or 12 when he left. So she was like 32, 33.
But
the next time he saw her, but he saw her.
Okay, the first time he saw her,
she was
young. No. Actually, no. The first time that they got messages from Earth, like his daughter didn't send him a message.
No, she didn't send messages for a while. It was the brother who did it.
Yeah, it was the brother.
And then she sent a few, and then she didn't, and then she sent a few at the beginning, and then she stopped. And then the brother sent messages saying why. And then when she finally did get back to him is when she was older, in her 30s,
right,
where we pick up with her. And that's where we pick up with her, is where she left off her last message to her dad, which was, it was a one-way mission. I found out, like they told me, like Professor Brand told me.
He confessed.
Anne Hathaway's dad, Michael Caine. Michael Caine's like, look, love, it's a one-way mission, right? The whole universe the whole Earth is fucked, right? So we've got to go to another planet. Sorry, go fuck yourself. I'm Michael Caine. And it's like, oh, damn, what an asshole. Michael Caine totally fucked us again. I don't know if he fucked us in other movies. Probably. Maybe The Italian Job. He was in the original. So they're like, well, shit, what do we do now? And he's like, well, look, I'm going to go down to one more planet. We're going to go find ourselves a habitable planet because I'm going to finish this mission and I'm going to save the human race and I'm going to get back to my daughter. I'm Matthew McConaughey. Murph is my daughter. Murph. Oh, whoa, sorry. Super South. Super Southern. So he's like, all right, they go down to where this one guy, who turned out to be a big douchebag and also really famous, they go down to this planet where this douchebag's like, oh, it's totally habitable, you guys. I swear to God.
Totally.
Yeah, and as they're like flying down, they're crashing into like ice that's in the clouds and shit. Like there's ice in the clouds. Like, it's above the ground.
How does that even happen?
And they're crashing through it, trying to land on this planet that's supposedly habitable. And they're like, what the fuck? This guy's a dick, whoever sent this. And they're like, how is this a habitable planet? It's too cold. It's rocky. There's no way to survive. There's no way to grow food. Like,
right.
What the fuck? And so they go, and they find out that the astronaut's still alive. They're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he's just in a pod.
And they're like, oh, well, let's bust them out, you know, and let's see who it is. And they bust them out. And who is it? Matt Damon. I've been waiting this whole review to say that.
I hope that
Matt Damon.
I hope it.
That's right. He was in the movie. That's right. Matt Damon was secretly in this movie the entire time. You didn't know and we didn't know. And there was the whole audience was like, is that fucking Matt Damon? Yeah, that's Matt Damon. Holy shit. Matt Damon's in this movie? And they're like, oh, goddamn. And I remember hearing everyone saying that, including myself. I was like, yeah, right? Like, Matt Damon's in this shit? And he's just like, oh, thank God you guys are here. I thought I was going to die here. Oh, and then what he finds out is that they weren't sent to save him. They were sent go find a habitable planet, and he fucked them over. And so he realizes that, and he's like, shit, I got to try and betray them and kill them off, like, kill off my problems and then go restart a world with Anne Hathaway. I got to kill Matthew McConaughey. Fuck. And so they're down there, and Tars goes and opens up another robot who was Matt Damon's robot, Lars or something. There's Tars and Lars or some shit, I think.
Hans and Franz,
Tars and Lars, the robots. The German robots. Yeah, we all German. And they're going around and they're setting shit up on the base and trying to get things rolling. And slowly Matt Damon's getting his plot together, like, okay, I totally fucked this up. This planet's not habitable. I'm gonna kill these guys off one by one. And we get to a scene where he gets Matthew McConaughey alone.
So this is what I don't get. Why is he killing him exactly?
He went space crazy. That's what I'm saying. That's Mike's crazy.
Madness.
That's my excuse. My excuse is that he went space crazy, and that's why he did the shit that he did.
Okay.
I can't really understand. Okay. If what I understand from the plot is that he knew it was a one-way mission. He knew he was fucked. So he sent out a distress beacon saying he found a habitable planet so that somebody would come back. He was going to use that vehicle that they came back in. He was going to hijack it and go back home because he didn't want to fucking die out in space. He changed his mind and he decided to lie. And so he was going to use their ship and get back to Earth.
Okay.
He's like, I was going to... Okay, so that's what... That was his whole thing.
So basically, he didn't want to die alone.
No, he didn't want to die alone. He didn't want to die on a planet alone. He wanted to die. He had regret. So he wanted to go back to Earth, and he wanted to give up on this mission. He said, this mission's over. It's fucked. It's not going to work. There's no habitable planets. We couldn't find any. You guys are fucked. I'm fucked. Earth's fucked. Let's just go back and be fucked. And he knew McConaughey wouldn't be with that because McConaughey wants to finish the mission. So he keeps trying to lead him along, string him along, like, oh, it's fine. Like, how about you and me go off alone together? Just you and me. Matthew McConaughey, Matt Damon, just you and me alone.
You got to see this shit down
here. Yeah, Dad, check this shit out down here. And he's like, what? What is it? Oh, it's really cool. He's like, oh, if it's really cool, I'll come down. I'm Matthew McConaughey. And so he goes down there and turns out, oh, no, Matt Damon's a dick. Oh shit, Matt Damon double crossed son of a bitch, breaks Matt Damon and Matthew McConaughey there. Matt and Matthew. Matt is Matt Damon, Matthew is McConaughey. Matt breaks Matthew's helmet and he starts slowly leaking oxygen. Yeah. And he says, why'd you? And Matthew turns over and says to Matt, why would you do this to me, man? This ain't right. Like, why? And he's like, I'm sorry, Matthew McConaughey, but I've gone space crazy and I want to go home and this mission's fucking bullshit and this sucks. I'm leaving. Fuck you. You're not going to stop me. Matt Damon, I'm out. And so he goes back to the ship and McConaughey's lying there like, oh, fuck, what an asshole. And he's just like, what do I do? And he's rolling around on the floor.
Yeah, he took it off his transmitter off the...
So,
thing.
Yeah, and then Matthew McConaughey, being a dick, took his transmitter away. So it's like, how's McConaughey going to make it through? Turns out, he gets back to the ship, and they find out that Matt Damon had betrayed them. They find out because they could hear everything he was saying.
Yeah, he finds his little transmitter.
Yeah, thing. And then Anne Hathaway...
Plugs it back in the space suit.
Fucking Anne Hathaway heard all the shit he was saying. She's like, you're an asshole, Matt Damon. You're an asshole, Matt Damon. And so Matt Damon's like, fuck you, I'm going to steal a ship. And so he steals a ship and tries to fly back up to the main ship. And they're like, look, you're not going to make it, dude. Your ship will blow up. Don't try and lock with us. We're not going to accept you coming in. He's like, no, I'm coming in. And so he keeps trying to set it up to come in. He goes, all right, I'm going to open the door. And they're like, don't open the door, you're going to die. He's like, fuck you, I'm coming in. And he opens the door. And dies, and everything blows up, and he dies, and takes a few other people out with him. And you're like, oh shit, Matt Damon was an asshole. So then he cut back to McConaughey, like, oh man, I'm fucked. What am I gonna do? And Hathaway's like, don't worry, I'm coming, Matthew McConaughey. Matt Damon's dead now, so we won't ever have to talk about him again. Thank God for that, says Matthew McConaughey and Mike as he's talking about two different Matts. I don't know the character names; it probably would have helped. Regardless. After that ensues, they find him just in the nick of time, catch him, and turns out that they found one of the guys stayed on the space station, and he didn't stay in hibernation the whole time.
Right.
He came in and out of it, and so he aged a few years.
Right.
But in that time, what did he do? In the time he was aging on the ship, he was doing equations, and what did he come to through his equations?
Actually, I did.
About the black hole. Remember? McConaughey asked him before he left, hey, man, I want you to do a little mathemication on this black hole thing, and I want to see if there's any way we can use this wormhole black hole thing. All right. And he goes, yeah, okay, whatever.
So
he figures out, they come back, he's older, but the entire time he's been there, he's been like doing research and studying and doing calculations. This motherfucker's been doing his homework.
Right.
Figures out, you can use this, like, theoretically, you could use this black hole or whatever to get to the center of reality and existence and all space and time, and you could, you know, potentially use this to your advantage,
right,
in some way. And he's just like, what do you mean? You're telling me I could somehow use a black hole to save the day? And he's like, well, I mean, more or less, yes, I am telling you that. All right, all right, all right. So then he goes off and he decides, I'm taking Tars with me. And Tars goes with him. And he's like, fuck it, Tars, we're going into the black hole. We've already fucked everything up completely. Let's see what this black hole thing can do. Tars is like, well, I'm a robot. I'm supposed to do whatever you say. I think it's a bad idea. I highly advise against this, but I really don't want to die, but okay, let's go. And so Tars follows him, like, into the into the black hole.
Do this thing. Okay.
He's just like, fuck, I don't want... All right, fine. So he's just like, he goes and he does
it. I have to do it because I'm a robot.
I'm following your orders, but I don't want to do this. And there's a running gag throughout the movie where he controls his humor level.
Yeah.
Because in the future, you can control the different, like, settings of their personality.
Yep.
Yeah, of the robots. So you can make them funny, you can make them goofy, you can make them angry, you can make them sad, you can make them whatever you want. You could just say, you know, up your humor, sense of humor 50%, lower it 10%. And he's like, 10? How about 5? And he's like, how about 15? He's like, all right. Like, it was a funny moment. Really well done. They end up going into this black hole, drifting deeper and deeper and deeper until finally they get to the Matrix library. The library matrix. Murph's library matrix. Murph's matrix library. Murph, 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 Murph. Sorry. sorry, I had a seizure again. Okay, Armando.
Yes.
It gets a bit sticky in this part. This basically explains the ghost.
Right.
Who's the ghost?
So, yeah. He goes in black hole. They're, like, flying. And
remember we,
like,
talked about that ghost earlier? And you're like, who the fuck was that ghost, like, setting this whole thing up?
Right.
McConaughey, y'all. All right. He was the fucking ghost the whole time.
Right. Yeah, he goes in. They're flying, and they don't know what's beyond the black hole, but they're finding out. And then, like, he eventually has to eject, right? It's because, like, the ship's getting too messed up. And then he just goes through the black hole, and he keeps, like, falling or just being propelled,
and he keeps asking Tars, like, hey, like, where are we, like are we towards the center, like, where, yeah, are we? And Tars is like, well, I'll tell you how far away from where we were was. And so, right, Tars is like, we're this far away, we're that far away, now we're infinitely far away,
it's
now
all
we're immeasurably far away, like, somehow we are now,
it's all relative,
now we're in, now we're not. He's like, well, where are we, Tars? And he's like, well, I can't really tell you where we are. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, we are and we are not at the same time. And he's like, excuse me? And he goes, yeah, exactly. So McConaughey's like, well, I don't know what this means. What do I do?
Well, that's funny. It's like a robot could figure that out.
The robot's like, look, I can't explain this to you. You're a human. We like I get it because I don't exist and I do exist because I'm a robot. You're a human. You don't exist and you do exist, but you don't understand that because there's a part of you that's like, I exist always. I never not exist. Like, we don't want to think we never not exist or that we never didn't exist or whatever. So it's hard for us to let go of that part of our brain.
Right.
So McConaughey's like, wait, where am I? How can I be and not be at this? This what the fuck? Like, and Tars is like, just look, man, trust me. Just go with the flow. You're in Murph's Matrix library. You gotta, like, you know, just take advantage of whatever the hell you can do in this reality. And they sort of figure out, McConaughey slowly figures out that through his love and through his memories, somehow this center of the universe, this unexplained gray area, manifested through all of his obsession over, like, his daughter and missing his daughter and loving her, manifested a channel in which he could access the reality,
right,
of his daughter. It was fucking crazy.
Well, also, they think
fucking wild shit.
Also, they suspect that it's an advanced civilization beyond.
Oh yeah, right. Remember, they think it's an advanced civilization
beyond current humans.
Later on, they find out it's us. Hey, it's spoilers again. It's just us in the future, guys. We just sent shit back. We were like, hey, we're gonna send this back. We think you're gonna need it later. Why? Don't worry. We're from the future. We're from the future.
We got this.
We got you guys. Don't worry. How can we trust you? Just fucking. Were you from the future? Oh yeah. Shit. Sorry.
So they
it turns out we helped ourselves with the wormhole. We helped ourselves with Murph's Matrix library. We helped ourselves
They manipulated space and time.
Murph had also, in this time that Matthew McConaughey was gone, off planet doing like space shit, she was advancing intellectually. She became a professor. She became a doctor. She became a botanist. She figured out a way how to take the human race off of the planet, but still grow food in space and still maintain like a greenhouse in space. And so she created this like design for a space station where you could farm in space, basically. And so McConaughey,
they got the quantum whatever information.
Right. So whatever information McConaughey sent back, like that was the whole point. It was to close a loop. It was like to close a loop, basically. To use Looper terms, he was closing his loop. He was being the ghosty guy to send him back, to send him forward so that he could find the information to send to the future people.
To propel this big-ass structure into space.
To make all of future happen. That's why. There, I think we finally figured out Interstellar. To make
future happen.
To make the future happen for the human race. Matthew McConaughey had to sacrifice raising his daughter and seeing her grow to be an old lady. He comes back. He gets out of this fucking black hole.
Yeah, this
thing
only
takes... And
he
gets captured by... Not captured. He gets caught up by the... What was it? Battlestar Galactica fleet? It felt like the Battlestar Galactica fleet came in with the... Like, it's like, fuck, man, there's Cylons out there. You got to be careful, McConaughey. Like, what the fuck? What franchise am I in now? And they're like, "Don't worry about it. We're not Battlestar Galactica. Yes. Even though our ships look totally like the Battlestar Galactica ships, is it Starbuck? No, shut the fuck up. All right. So anyway, come aboard. Here's your daughter. She's dying. What? What did you say? Oh yeah, your daughter who you've missed for like I don't know.
Well yeah, ever. you've been gone for like 3 hours.
She's aged like to 87 or 97. She's dying, but we'll take it.
That's what happens when you go near a black hole.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, way to go, people who want to explore space. Way to fucking go, being curious.
I'm just saying, don't say we didn't warn you.
We warned you about black holes, and what did you fucking do? You went to the black hole. Anyway, this is prior to our warning, sorry. This movie is a warning about black holes and about space and time and travel. Always be careful when you're traveling through space and time. If you're a Douglas Adams fan, always bring your towel. It's true. You never know when you need a towel. And Douglas Adams definitely pointed that out.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Tell me about it. No? Anyway, back to Interstellar and love conquering all. So McConaughey's like, oh, shit. I'm going to see my daughter. She's going to be an old lady dying. At least I get to see her one last time. So he goes in and, yeah, she's there dying. And he's just like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I did what I did. And she's like, it's all right. You had to so that we could do whatever we had to do. And he's like, what do I do now? And she's like, leave. And he's like, what? And I thought she's going to say, leave because you're a fucking asshole and you left me, Dad. I thought that's what she was going to say. Like, I don't fucking need you in my life. You totally abandoned me for some bullshit. But it turns out it wasn't bullshit. He kind of had to do it to help them figure out what they needed
to help. All of humanity.
Yeah, he had to do that. So the sacrifice of being a father to save, you know, that sucks, man. Like what a tragedy. But it ends on an upbeat note. So she's like, she doesn't say, because fuck you, Dad, you weren't there when I was growing up. She goes, leave. And he's like, why? And she goes, no father should ever have to see their child die. And I was just like, oh, damn. You got me deep. You got me deep, Chris Nolan. You cut me deep. And he's like, okay, and he leaves. And as he leaves, he sees all of her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren coming in. And he sees that
she's really old.
Yeah, she's 97, 107. She's fucking old as shit.
Yeah, well, it was like she had to be at least 120, right?
Yeah, man, at least 120. But because, you know, medicine by then had advanced.
Yeah, it advanced. Yeah, exactly.
And healthcare was affordable.
I mean, they have like talking humor robots.
Yeah, they had talking humor robots. They could do whatever they want with guns.
With guns, yeah.
Yeah, and they fought wars and shit.
That's a patriot.
Yeah, that's a patriotic robot right there. Fuck yeah, Tars. You're a patriot.
Patriot.
I salute you, sir.
Goes to church on Sunday.
But get this, Tars survives. Tars survives, and him and McConaughey become best buddies. And what happens is they recreated the farm that they grew up on in this space
museum
biodome. I'm calling it a space biodome, basically, because it's a rotating huge ass facility that can grow crops and have farms and have homes.
Yeah,
and
yeah. It's spinning. Spins around like to generate gravity.
It's
yes.
fucking cool as hell. And McConaughey has his little plot of land there, and it looks just like the farm he had back in where fucking bumfuck Nova Scotia. I don't know. I don't know why I said bumfuck Nova Scotia. Sorry to the people of Halifax, Nova Scotia, in Canada. My apologies. Bumfuck Kansas. Fuck Kansas. I'm not sorry to you. sorry, Kansas. Damn it. And he's like, hey, I'm on my fucking farm now. This is boring. And Tarzan's like, yeah, this sucks. And he's like, here, have a beer. He's like, okay. He's like, here, I'd offer you one, but you're a robot. And Tarzan's like, yeah, I know. And so they're kind of both sitting there on the farm, and they're like, yep, this sucks. And so McConaughey decides, what is he going to do? He's going to steal a ship.
Steal a spaceship.
Fucking Grand Theft Auto. It's like, look, I helped. I mean, considering the sacrifices he made, yep. he gets to steal a spaceship.
Yeah.
Even though he's a pilot who hasn't flown any future ships. Technically, right. He hasn't flown a ship for 80 to 90 years. So all of the controls of the spaceship that he's going to be piloting are going to be like, what the fuck? How do I maneuver that? This is like not what I'm used to.
Well, maybe you just think it at that point.
If that's the case, then who knows what the hell he did. I'm sure he probably crashed and died a horrible death, because there's no way that Matthew McConaughey, his character from that century, knew how to fly a spacecraft 80 years into the future. That would be like taking a pilot from 80 years into the past and putting them in a fucking commercial airline and being like, go ahead and fly that plane. And put them in a jet fighter and fly that plane. They'd be like, fuck me. Is there a... do you have to spin the propeller to get it going? No, you don't have to spin the propeller to get it going. You just get inside and you... Never mind. Forget it. You know what? We're going to get somebody else who's qualified, who's not from the past.
This clearly was not in the best idea.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. 80 years, 80, 90 years, that's a long time for any kind of technology. You're not going to just get in that fucking ship and fly out of there. He's going to be sitting there like, okay, where is the on button? All right, don't see it. No on button. Keys. Are there keys in the future? Do I need keys? Okay, fuck. Is it a card situation? Do I just think on? Oh, there we go. Okay, I think on. It's on. All right, now what? Well, piloting. Up. All right. Doesn't move when you say up. And he's making notes. Doesn't move when you say up. I can just see him.
The extended cut.
This is the extended cut that Chris
5 hours.
Yeah, it's a deleted scene, you guys. It was just at the end. And Chris
5 hour scene.
He felt that it undermined the ending of the movie. Yeah, it was a 5 hour scene of McConaughey being like, I don't know how to fly this fucking thing. God damn it. How do I fly this thing and get the hell out of here? I'm sure there was a bit of time between his daughter passing away and him stealing a fucking spaceship and flying away, him learning how to fly it. I'm sure he had some wiggle room there. So it's, and by the way, it was the tail end of the movie. At that point, the audience is like, whatever, you just went through a black hole.
Yeah.
I'll believe whatever the fuck happens from this point on.
Right.
So, and you just watched your daughter die. So at the age of 80, while you were still in your 40s, it's weird.
Yeah, you do what the fuck you want.
You can do whatever you want, McConaughey. I'll accept anything at this point. Go for it. Semantics. So that's basically the plot and all the spoilers. We've given you the entire movie of Interstellar. Armando, Aranda, final thoughts on Interstellar. What did you think of the film? What did you like about it? And what would you rate it? What'd you think? What'd you like? What would you rate it?
What did I think? It was amazing. It was beautiful. It used a lot of science, which I like.
Like facts.
Yeah, like factual stuff.
Calculations and figures and things, yeah.
Yes, a lot of stuff that can actually happen. Not sure
quantum
about
quantum physics and real life things.
Right.
A little dash of sci-fi magic. And I call it sci-fi magic. It's when they go, because of science. Right. That's what sci-fi magic is. That's how they define it to me is, science figured out a way to do something. How? Because of science. Like, you know.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, well, then carry on. You know, then everyone accepts it. So they kind of use that to a bit of a degree in this film, but this film was centered more on the real world aspect of what and the psychological aspect of it. Matthew McConaughey's breakdown in the film is a scene that I think is tremendous. like acting wise. Like the scene, he's legitimately of his daughter, watching his daughter grow up without him.
Right.
And seeing the mom, like he just was with her. He just saw her like a few hours ago, maybe a day or so ago. And now he's watching her grow up into a woman without him.
Right.
Without him raising her.
Right.
And he's breaking down and he's crying. And you see him see the moments of joy and happiness when he sees her at certain ages. Like, oh my God, look at her. She's beautiful, you know, but he's crying and you're like, and you're feeling every little emotion that he has in that scene. And that's major kudos to Matthew McConaughey and his ability as an actor, because Lord knows what he was watching in real life to make him get to that point. He might have been watching a video with puppies, like off screen. Like there was a bunch of cute little puppies and maybe that just made him cry. He could have been watching another movie that had a very emotional scene that made him cry. Who knows whatever. If it was all him just doing the acting, which I'm sure it was, being the trained, well, I guess trained. I don't know if he's trained. Being the skilled actor that he is, I think of that scene. Whenever I think of Interstellar, I think of that scene. That's one of the standout scenes for me in Interstellar. That and the tsunami scene, McConaughey's performance and the sort of the grounded humility that he brought to it. It was like, wow, McConaughey's really a good actor.
Yeah.
Not that I ever thought he was a bad actor, but he's one of those actors that you're like, oh, like he can act.
Yeah.
He can do a lot of dumb movies and a lot of funny stuff and a lot of action, but he can also act. Like,
yeah,
good on you.
Bring some humanity.
Bring some humanness to it. Bring some human to it. Yeah. He brought human to it.
Human.
So what do you rate this out of 10? We do 10 out of 10 things. Out of 10 black holes.
God.
That go into infinite multiple matrix libraries. What do you give Interstellar out of 10?
I would have to do 9.
Ooh.
9.
9. Interesting. That's really good. Why 9?
I loved it. Like,
well, you loved it. Yeah, I know. I know you loved it. So it was the plot. It was the acting. It was the way it was shot. It was the design.
Yeah,
it was everything together. It was just you liked it, the whole package.
Yeah, the whole package.
I'm the same way about Interstellar. I feel the exact same way, and I'll say a 9 as well. And we've been agreeing a lot lately, which is freaking me out. And I don't know if that's cool, but we need to start disagreeing more on things. But I'm giving this a 9 as well because
We will disagree sometimes.
Oh, we disagree all the time, but at the end of the day, we end up agreeing on most things, which is why I think we stay friends. Just in general,
we have the same.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we have the same basic needs and wants. Fuck it. So that's why we're friends. So,
we eat, we shit.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, exactly. I mean, you know, fuck you, of course.
Of course.
And then
fuck you. Uh-huh.
And thank you. Yes. Thank you. Uh-huh. Fuck you. Fuck me.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, uh-huh. Indeed. That's our thing. Other than high-fiving in our YouTube videos, which, by the way, go to the Simmer Mic to check out our YouTube trailer reactions. What up? Plug in the middle of the fucking review. Review. Remix. Remix. Sorry, I had a stutter thing go on there for a minute. I've been talking at length about sci-fi. Let's wrap it up. What I liked about it, I loved every aspect of it. The whole package, just like you said, I give it a 9 as well. What I found very interesting about this film, obviously, were the performances that we got, but the ideas that this film brought were so fucking big and so fucking cool. The idea that we fucked up our planet to the point that we had to go off planet to find another planet, and the fact that the daughter of the man who went to do that stayed on the planet and created a system where we could still live as a human race, but inside of a space station.
Right.
You know, we don't need the planet. We have all the basic necessities of that. We can perpetuate that in space.
Yeah, now we can
create our own ecosphere.
As many planets as we want.
Now we can take this human race on the road. Take this parasite on the road. Which, you know, is what we are. We're parasites.
And that's, and that's how we became space cancer.
And that's how the human race became space cancer in Interstellar, ladies and gentlemen. And honestly, to Chris Nolan's credit, this is the first time I've seen him do sci-fi. I've never seen him do like a sci-fi outer space movie before. I've seen him like go inside the mind. I've seen him do superhero stuff. I've seen him do magician magic, you know, period piece work. I've never seen him do space stuff. To see him go to outer space and to see him do it in such a grounded, really cool, realistic way, but to bring the fantastic element to it.
Like what I
it
really
was just so well executed that I can't recommend it enough. If you're a sci-fi fan, if you're a big film buff, if you just like good movies, this is just a good movie. It's got great, it's just well written.
There was
it's more of a drama than I'd say sci-fi. Yeah. It's not like heavy sci-fi. It's like real world sci-fi. Like, whoa, big ideas.
What I really felt novel to me was that it just really brought this sense of exploration and going into unknown. And it's just like all the uncertainty and the fear. It's like, what the fuck is going to happen?
What now? What?
Like, now what? That was some crazy shit. Well, now some more crazy shit's happened. We don't even know how it's going to turn out.
Dude, I wanted them to go to more planets. I'm like, go to more planets. Go to more planets. I want to see more fucking. Go to a jungle planet. Yeah. Go to a sand planet.
Let's play
planet.
Some 80s music and go through a montage.
Come on. Let's do it. You know you want to do it. And Chris Nolan was probably fighting that back. Like, no, I will not do an 80s montage. No, we're going to keep this grounded. But damn it. And in his head, you see the movie he'd really be making. I can't see me loving nobody but you. And they're just running around like on spaceship. Just like, having a good time. It's like Scooby-Doo and the gang. It's good time space exploration. I can't wait. That's what SpaceX is going to be like when Elon Musk gets his shit up and running.
Wow, you know what? Now I want to see like the Bollywood version of Interstellar.
Oh my God, the Bollywood Interstellar. Bollywood, if you are listening, thank you, Bollywood, is what we need to do. We need to do a thank you. You're welcome, Bollywood. Bollywood, please make an Interstellar. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? How amazing would that be?
On different planets.
Oh my God.
Imagine like a low gravity musical number, musical number.
Bollywood, you have the money now. Come on, get in there. Make it happen. Make it so. Using a Picard reference because we're talking about space stuff and this is a space thing.
A spaceship being tossed around in a giant sea wave mountain. musical number.
Oh, man.
They're getting propelled around they're getting tossed around the spaceship.
But you know, they're still singing and still
they're still happy.
There's still celebration.
There's a lot of color in the spaceship.
Yeah. But even in the sad moments, they're still like very passionate, you know.
Right.
But anyway, sorry. Bollywood Interstellar coming out 2018 September 1st, 2018.
Yes.
Bollywood Interstellar. Brought to you by Team Awesome Inc. That's right. We're going to produce all of it. Going to go to Bollywood, make a movie, Armando. That's going to do it for this late ass review for Interstellar. I give it a 9. He gives it a 9. This is a fantastic film. You guys, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. You'll love it.
Yeah, I caught it on, am I allowed to say the company name?
Of course.
Okay, Amazon Prime.
Netflix. So if you want to Netflix it, Prime.
I didn't see it on Netflix, but I did see it on Amazon Prime.
I'm sure you could find it on any of the apps or outlets that they have for this shit. I mean, it's one of those. It's a good. It's a solid flick that you'll be able to find and watch for free, hopefully. If not, then you know you might have to pay a buck or two. Big deal.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's worth. I think it's worth the price if you haven't seen it. It's really that good. It's for the first time watching it. It's worth seeing. It's worth paying to watch.
I want to watch it again. Actually.
Yeah, totally. It makes, and
it's freaking 3 hours. You know?
I know it's a 3-hour film,
but I still want to see it again.
Speaking of 3 hours, this review has gone on at length, Armando. Thank you guys for tuning in as per usual. Again, if you haven't seen Interstellar, go check it out. If you have, thank you for geeking out with us and checking out this review. Better late than never, right, Armando?
Yep.
Late ass review. Yeah. Team Awesome Inc. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Like that Facebook page, of course. Download and subscribe for free on iTunes as well as Podomatic. That website is yotina.podomatic.com. Again, that's yotina.podomatic.com. Check out our YouTube channel, Simmer Mike. Again, that's Simmer Mike on YouTube. Just youtube.com/SimmerMike. That's how you get to it.
Yeah.
Duh.
What's your problem?
Once a week, we're live at Soundcast. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
You got a problem with that?
Do
that once a week. I hope you don't mind.
If you're
okay with that, sir or madam, you can follow Soundcast tweets at Soundcast FM or whatever. God, you know, it's like every time with these guys, we do a show and they just give us attitude.
Mm.
You know, you can see your attitude, listeners. No, fucking, I'll stop right there because I don't want to alienate our listeners any more than we already have. Thank you for tuning in, guys. You are the best. You are what makes this show happen. And because of you, we are able to continue doing what we're doing. We got more trailer reactions coming up.
We love you.
We do. Whoa.
We love you.
Oh, my God. Armando's saying that in a very special way. Mm. I've never seen him this intense. You guys are very lucky. He likes you. If he didn't, you'd be very unlucky.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Bye.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome. team awesome mink.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.